Warning, you are in for a special treat with this episode because what you're about to hear is very, very unique. In fact, I don't think I've ever recorded a podcast episode quite like this because recently I was asked to work with some principals in the state of Indiana. And I said, yeah, let's do that. I'm going to actually just capture the audio and some of the video on my end and then just kind of let's see what happens. Well, the conversation ended up just flowing and it was so natural and it was so full of just great questions, but hopefully really great responses that you are going to hear unfold. And they are practical ideas. They are great school solutions. And whether you're a classroom teacher, you are a teacher leader, you're a passionate principal, maybe you're a dean of students or a behavior interventionist, I think that you are going to find so many nuggets of wisdom and simple, practical things that you can implement in your school, your classroom, or your hallway instantaneously. Not only that, I think it's going to shed some light on things that people are feeling in any and every state due to the unique state of education right now. I think this is probably going to be the thing that you need at this point in your school year, and I am excited to give you exclusive access right here, right now. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. I often joke that I am absolutely surrounded by cornfields and also Casey's General Store. And so it is one of those things where as an educator in small communities, I understand that oftentimes we can find ourselves comparing education in Illinois, in Indiana, in California, New York. But at the end of the day, I think that as educators, we have a lot in common and our problems actually can unite us because if something works for a student in rural Illinois, it can work for a teacher or a principal in Indiana and throughout the entire United States. And so my goal in education as a classroom teacher and now as also an SEL coach and just a consultant across the country is to make sure that our kids are laughing more often because I often say that laughter leads to learning. But I don't think that happens on accident. I think we actually have to be kind of strategic about it. So I think if we can get people, principals, teachers, students laughing, I think we can get them listening. I think that's just human nature. And I'm sure you've experienced this where you have a colleague laughing and you're kind of working on a project and then you hear him laughing and you're like, wait, what's going on? And we get sidetracked because laughter is genuinely contagious. So if we can get people laughing, we can get people listening. The next step is, what are we going to do while we hear that person? So are we then listening for opportunities to connect? Are we listening for opportunities to have compassion or empathy? Are we listening to kind of develop the relationship? Because that's the next step. If we have compassion, empathy, respect, we have a relationship. And every educator knows that the way that we get humans to learn is through that relationship. So laughter leads to learning, but it's kind of a learning ladder. And so everything that I do, whether I'm working with students or working with teachers, principals, whoever I'm working with, I want to make sure that we're having fun because I think that laughter leads to learning ladder is genuinely the cornerstone of everything in education.
Hey, that's true. And who doesn't love to have fun?
Right. I know.
You can't convince me anybody out there doesn't love to have fun, even if they say they don't.
I could not agree more.
Well, and then as you talked about relationships, it really kind of stuck with me because the school leader paradigm, are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Illinois. And there's a crosswalk in the back of that book, and it basically shows that relationships is the only indicator that crosses through every other element of leadership. And same with teaching. And so that relationship is just the key component. I want to take a second to just ask, is there a pivotal moment or an experience in your career or maybe even before that shaped your passion for building strong relationships with kids?
Yeah, actually, that's a great question. I love that because there was a teacher that I had in seventh grade who honestly, I didn't care for much. And this is never where people think this story is going because it's like the person who like you loved all year long. This was the teacher who I had a countdown calendar for seventh grade because I knew that I would never have to spend another day with that teacher. And so what I was finding is as a seventh grader, I knew I wanted to be a teacher. But I was literally keeping notes of all of the things that that teacher was doing so that I would not repeat it, so that I would not replicate it in my own classroom. But the story takes an interesting twist because on day 180 of the school year, the last day of seventh grade, that teacher said something to me and to my classmates. That teacher made a bet with us that changed everything. And that teacher went from being my least favorite teacher of all time to my favorite teacher of all time, literally in the last 5 minutes of the school year. In fact, it's the last chapter of my book called Game Changers, because this teacher was an absolute game changer for me in that moment. And he proved a really important point that it's never too early, but more importantly in this moment, it's never too late to build really strong relationships. And if my seventh grade science teacher can go from being my least favorite teacher of all time to my favorite teacher in all time at 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes left in the school year, like the listeners of this episode have so much time in order to connect with kids and connect with colleagues. Another fun fact to that story is I ended up getting that teacher's job.
What?
He retired. I was his replacement for seventh grade science. And I taught in that position for the first 10 years of my career. So like, I mean, that's full circle, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. That is full circle. That's amazing. Thanks for sharing that story.
Yeah.
Hopefully people out there are kind of thinking about things in their own, maybe in their own practice or someone that's made that same impression or impact on them. Mm-hmm. You talk a lot about the importance of a positive classroom culture, and we all know how important that is. Right. But in your experience, what are the very first steps a teacher should take to foster a culture of not only positivity, but also respect with their students?
Really good question. I think, you know, and as educators, we often get frustrated when we start talking about data.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want us to take a step back, and any teacher who's wanting to boost that classroom culture, I want us to just be reflective for a moment and collect some just informal data. And you can do this for one class period, one day, depending on what age group you teach and reach. But I want us to ask ourselves, what are we doing more often, clapping or critiquing? And like literally just keep track of that. And this is not a gotcha or anything like that. This is not this thing where at the end of the day, you look at your tallies and are like, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible teacher. Or, oh, I really missed the mark. But I think if we can get some baseline data on, are we clapping more than we are critiquing? If we can tip the scale on that a little bit, because it's really, really difficult to learn from someone, let alone hear someone who we feel like is being overly negative or overly critical. And I don't think that teachers want to come off that way. But just as a quick example, one thing that I've stopped saying in my classroom to students is the term, what's wrong? Like as humans, that feels like a nice question to look at somebody who's crying or maybe upset or frustrated. Maybe they throw their Chromebook on the floor or something like that. Our reaction is to say, hey, what's wrong? The hard part about that is from a human lens, the only thing that we hear in that question is the word wrong.
Wrong.
Right? Like wrong. Like, why can't I have this emotion? Why can't I be sad today? And so when we just reframe things on not what we're saying, but how kids are receiving it, like, are they looking at what we're doing as a celebration of learning, or are students feeling like, man, my teacher is really critical? And I think if we can kind of analyze just that, that's going to really change the classroom culture and the classroom dynamics simply by reframing, I'm here to support you. I'm going to celebrate you. I want you to grow. I want you to really expand your horizons, but I want to clap you up more than I want you to feel like I'm critiquing you. Mm-hmm. And I would even argue, depending on the age of your students, involve them in that conversation. It's a hard one to have because you're asking to receive maybe some difficult feedback, but kids will be transparent and say, hey, what do you guys think about what percent of the time do you think I'm clapping versus critiquing? And then just listen. Mm-hmm. Not because we're coming down on you, not because you're doing anything wrong, but if we as teachers truly want to change the climate and the culture, we have to be willing to ask the hard questions, and our students will give us the feedback that we need in order to move in the right direction.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And that leads me to something you just alluded to. Would you say that these steps vary by age group, or do you find that strategies translate congruently across elementary, middle, and high school?
Yeah, it's an interesting thought because in a lot of ways, we could say like not everything works for all age groups, but I think it's the delivery matters. Like the delivery for me working with a six-year-old is going to be different than working with a 16-year-old. Right now, I'm in a K-12 role. Because I'm in a really small rural school district, I impact anything from a kindergartner all the way up to a high schooler each day. Okay. And I think good teaching and good education is having good strategies, but then figuring out how you're editing the delivery, how you're editing word choice, how you are maybe even chunking that strategy to make sure that you're reaching and teaching all kids. So do I think that conversation of clapping and critiquing is going to work across all grade levels? I do. And I don't think that's just for students with teachers. I think that's for teachers with principals and principals with teachers. Like, I think that's just a human conversation that we probably need to have more of, maybe even at the next faculty meeting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. And you know, our podcast and IASP is a principal organization, and we do have some teachers involved, but they're teacher leaders looking to grow themselves. So classroom positivity doesn't just happen in a vacuum. How do administrators and school leaders, whether it be a student or a teacher leader, play a role in supporting and sustaining that positive culture across the entire building?
Yeah. Really good question. I think that sometimes we overcomplicate things in this way, right? Like when maybe we have something in Illinois, and I'm sure you have something similar in Indiana, we call it the Illinois report card, where we collect a whole bunch of data and then basically every school gets a grade, right? Yeah. And one of those is actually based off of teachers' input on how things are going in their school. And what we have looked at in Illinois, and even in the schools that I've worked in the schools that I've consulted in, is we get those results back, and we look at it and we're like, oh my gosh, teachers are maybe unhappy, or teachers don't feel like we support them enough, or teachers don't feel like we're visible enough. That's probably one of the biggest things. And so it's like, but there's no more time in the day. How do we change all of these things that we need to change when we're really just confined to this amount of time, like the 8 to 3? And so what I have realized in just my short time in my coaching role in my own school district is those first 15 minutes of the school day, if we can be proactive about the first 15 minutes, then so many of the fires are going to be put out proactively. And so what I would recommend to listeners is blocking that 8 to 8:15. That's what it is for me, where I kind of think about like doing rounds. I try to make it around the entire school in those first 15 minutes and connect with each teacher and say, hey, what can I do to support you in the next 2 minutes? What a powerful question. What can I do to support you in the next 2 minutes? And oftentimes teachers are like, nothing, ready to have a great day. And other times, like literally today, a teacher said, oh my gosh, I got caught up on the phone talking to a parent before school started. I did not get a chance to run to the restroom. Can you just stick around with my students for like 2 minutes? And I was like, absolutely, I got you. And so that was something really easy to do. Took no planning and no prep on my part, but just to pop in while the kids are doing their lunch count and they're getting their cubbies all organized. And that meant so much to the teacher. The teacher's like, oh my God, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much that means. Like that positive deposit is like just going to pay off exponentially. And I don't think that sometimes we realize how much those moments matter. Another example. Went into another classroom recently. I said to the teacher, same question every single time. What can I do to support you in the next couple of minutes? The teacher looked at me with this like face of, oh my, it's a morning. And I noticed one student was looking particularly energetic, particularly elevated. And I was like, you know what? I already know what I can do to help you in the next couple of minutes. I'm going to grab that student. I'm going to take him. We're going to do a walk and talk. I'm going to kind of de-escalate him. You get your classroom ready with all other your 14 other students. We'll be back in like 3 minutes. I was able to de-escalate that student. The teacher was able to get the rest of her class ready to learn for the day, brought the kid back. The teacher's like, thank you. And I was like, I got you. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes when we think about supporting teachers and climate and culture and all of these things, it's this belief that we want to change all of the curriculum, or we want to change like our entire schedule, or we're so displeased about this or that. Sometimes it's just those tiny moments that really matter. And then they kind of snowball in a positive way, to going back to the beginning of the episode, are going to build relationships. It's going to create some laughter. And then everyone's going to learn more in the process.
Ooh, I love it. You've got some great examples. You've shared a ton already of insights and just culture building activities with relationships and everything. And I know we could dig deep into a lot of other examples, but what core message do you hope to communicate to other educators and leaders out there listening today?
Yeah, I think if I could leave people with just one thought, it would be like, are you celebrating 180 days of awesome? In the state of Illinois, we have 180 calendar days to build one school year, right? Yeah. And I think we often look at the big problems and we also kind of magnify the big wins because those are easy to do. But I think if I want to leave everyone with one message, it's, are you walking out of your school, out of your building, out of your office, out of your classroom every single day and intentionally focusing on the one awesome little moment that could be the thing that changes everything the very next day? And I will just be fully transparent. The reason why I know that this philosophy works is because about 10 years ago, I left the profession. Like I quit. I said, this is nuts. I'm not doing this anymore. Like education is not what I signed up for. This is not what I thought it was going to be. Like I'm already burnt out and I'm only like 6 years in. This is crazy. And so then I left the profession. It's a long story. It's a long story. But the good news is I only left for the summer. That's also known as summer break. Okay. Yeah. Like, I never actually quit my job, but what I ended up doing was keeping this journal of tracking one awesome little moment every single day for 180 days. And I instantaneously realized, like, this is changing my mindset. This is changing my heart. This is changing my head. And at the end of that school year, I had 180 little written reminders of why I love what I do, why we do what we do every single day. And I didn't intend to do anything with that journal. I thought it was just for me. And what I realized was like, oh gosh, other teachers are struggling. Other principals are struggling. And people were like, let us read your journal. Let us read your journal. I was like, no, I'm never releasing that. And they're like, please, please, please. Yeah. And so with the encouragement of a lot of people who had found out about this journal, I ended up releasing it into a book called 180 Days of Awesome. It was the most unintentional way to write a book ever. But what I realized in the moment was, is like, man, I think we get it mixed up sometimes. We get super hyper-focused on all of the big problems, where if we can just put the little celebrations under the microscope, that's going to motivate us to have the momentum to continue to celebrate and learn and grow. And so if any of your listeners have ever picked up the book 180 Days of Awesome, or maybe they've read it now, they realize that that book was never supposed to be a book. That was like a journal of my journey to hoping to love my job again. And it must have worked, because here I am. I'm getting ready to finish year 16. So I know it's not just this cliche thing like 180 Days of Awesome. It's legit a game changer for me, and hopefully for other educators as well.
Well, I can totally see how that would impact your mindset, for sure. I mean, that's a 180 degree.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yes.
But I love looking at the positives. And, you know, as we are talking to principals, assistant principals, teacher leaders, teachers, all these educators across the state of Indiana and beyond, mm-hmm. Illinois as well, it's so easy, like you said, to get hyper-focused on the negative, because it's the problem at hand that you have to address.
Yeah.
Great things are not typically things that have to get your attention right now. Mm-hmm. So I love what you're talking about there. Now I'm going to have to read that book. I'm going to have to check that out.
Now you know. Now you know the backstory too.
Yes, I love it. I'll have to read it from that lens.
Yeah. So
how do you see this message influencing the broader educational community, and maybe impacting school culture at large beyond Indiana and Illinois?
Yeah. I think that we have to continue to almost like rebrand what education is. I think all of us across the world can kind of see some of the things that we're seeing on social media or seeing on the news. And I think it's really disheartening. Like, you know, we said right after COVID that this is the mass exodus of teachers, right? And we saw a lot of people leaving the profession. And I think if we're not really careful, like we haven't seen that yet. And so on a daily basis, what I'm trying to do is highlight the good things, highlight the positive things, highlight the great work that teachers are doing, highlight the great work that's happening in the classrooms. And like, I hate to think of schools as businesses, but the reality is businesses have really good branding. Right? Like they have a marketing team, they have a media team, like they are highlighting their products. We got an amazing product. You know what our product is? Educating kids. Yeah. Like we can market that really, really well. But I want people to ask themselves, how are we marketing our school? How are we marketing how awesome our teachers are? Yeah. Like, are we doing a good job of branding the incredible product that exists? Because if we don't market it in a positive way, nobody, somebody else is going to do it in a negative way. So yeah. Like we have the upper hand as people in schools, in classrooms, in hallways, to show everyone like this, like education is incredible. And it's not broken, despite what you see in the media. It's not this thing that's damaged. It's hard. Like, let's call it what it is. It's hard. But it's also really, really awesome. And I think that comes down to how are we showing that? I often talk about displaying what we want to see on the walls and in the halls of our school. Like, how are you marketing your school when the raisins come in for conferences? And you might be like, what's a raisin? Anyone who's raising these kids, right? When it's not just parent-teacher conferences, like it's raising reunions, whether it's mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, like how are we marketing this to the raisins, the people who are raising these awesome kids? And so maybe that's just kind of like my brain that sees it as a branding opportunity, but I think we got a great opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, there is going to be a narrative on every teacher, every student, every classroom, every school, every corporation. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of if it's our narrative or if we let somebody else just take it and run with it.
Exactly. Yeah. We get to control it.
I agree. And it frustrates me sometimes when I hear or see something on the news and then you hear a conversation like that's the norm.
Yeah.
Oh, this somebody quit their job in the middle of the year or got fired or whatever. And then the next conversation you're in with someone that's not affiliated with the school, typically it's, did you know all teachers do blah, blah, blah? No, they don't. I have worked with amazing people, amazing students in amazing schools. It's been great. So what would this, I can hear your passion. I love the way you sound and the way you, your flavor you put on all of this and raisins. I'm going to steal that.
Okay. Yeah. Raisin reunions, also known as parent-teacher conferences.
I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
What would this look like for a teacher or an administrator, perhaps, to really embody these ideas that you're giving us in their day-to-day life at school?
Yeah.
What would it look like?
I really think that every teacher in every school needs to kind of pick one or two things and go all in on that per year. And the reason why I say that is because when you start looking at data, you could think, okay, are we gonna really crush reading data this year? Are we gonna crush math data? Are we gonna crush teacher retention? Are we gonna look at attendance? Are we gonna look at truancy? Are we gonna look at like adding three or four new clubs or sports or organizations? And I think sometimes we kind of overwhelm ourselves. And at the beginning of the year, we're like, it's a fresh year, it's a new start. We can do all of these things. And it immediately starts off really, really well. But by October, what happens is like some of these systems start falling off. Okay. And I think there needs to be a balance between systems and smiles. And I think if we are doing and going all in on more than like a couple of things every single school year, it's just, we're going to not move the needle. We're not going to see any progress. And just as an example, like one thing that the elementary school that I work in is really focusing on this year is attendance. Like that is something that I think universally we have seen a sharp decline in students attending schools. Now, when you pick something like attendance, guess what happens? If we can get kids in the building, naturally, we understand that that's going to help with test scores. That's going to help with learning, but we're not branding it that way. We're saying, let's focus on attendance. And in the past few months, like if we look at January and February, again, this is just one school who went all in on this. We boosted attendance in January and February by 3% during one of the largest flu outbreaks that our state has had in a long time, okay? So boosted it by 3%. Now, some haters on the internet, right, are going to say 3%, what the heck? But if you break that down by the number of students who are actually in the building and the number of learning minutes that they were present for on those 3% of days, you are looking at so much instructional time. And here we are now in testing season. Do we think that 3% boost in attendance is going to help with that? Yes. Guess what? When kids are at school, they can also build better relationships. So guess what? That's going to improve the climate and the culture. But again, we said we're focusing on attendance.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna see the trickle down of that. And I think that makes it more manageable for like staff as well to say, here's what we're doing. I think it's easier to receive. I think it's easier to digest. And then we're just looking at those numbers and then seeing the positive reaping of all of that as the year continues.
Oh, I completely agree. And Monica, like I said, we try to keep this around 20 minutes. I'm watching the time and we're running out of time. And I know you and I talked about how much content this could have been and that we could have explored so much more. But before we let our listeners go, I want to know, is there anything I missed or anything else you want to share? And then I also want to know how they can find you to find more about what you're all about.
Yeah. I guess the thing that I would kind of want to emphasize is like every single person who walks into a school deserves to love that experience. Like students deserve to love it. Staff deserves to love it. Principals deserve to love it. Parents deserve to love it. Custodians, like literally every single person. And so I think when you can start taking some of these ideas and really applying them into the schools, into the classrooms, like, I think that's the good gauge. Like, are we enjoying walking into a school every single day? And I think that's a really good maybe commute reflection question as you drive home each day. My hope is that the conversation that happened in this episode is a catalyst for conversations in your classroom, or a catalyst for conversations around your meeting room table or in your conference room. Like, what can you take from this episode and bring it to your students, bring it to your school, bring it to your staff, and then level up the learning and the laughter for everyone who walks into your school? If you are like, yes, these are the ideas, these are the philosophies, these are the thoughts that you want your teacher friends to have, or you want your staff to have as a principal, then let's make that happen. I would love to bring this energy to your school, to your conference room, to your next back to school event or your October Institute day. If there is something that I can do to take the energy that was happening in this conversation and spread that joy and spread that passion to the people that you work with on a daily basis, then let's make it happen. You can check out monicagenta.com/PD. That's Monica, GENTA.com/PD, because I want to bring the PD, the professional development, to your school, to your students, because I want this upcoming school year to be the best one of your career. I don't say that lightly either. I don't say that as some like cliche kind of thing. I believe that we live in a world where the best year of school can be our worst year of school to date. That sounds crazy, right? Like, why would we want our best school year to be our worst school year in the future? That means it keeps getting better and better and better and better. And I really do think that that can happen. We're at a weird space in education right now. Full transparency. You know that. You feel that on a daily basis. But what if this upcoming school year, or even, shit, the end of this school year, what if this was the time that we said, no, we're going to end this year on a good note, and we're going to start next year on a good note? Then we're going to take that mindset, we're going to take that motivation, and we're going to get the momentum to make that happen for 180 days of awesome next year. I believe it. I really do. I want that for my staff. I want that for my students. I want that for my learning community. And I want that for yours. I want to thank you so much for being a part of this special episode. Remember, we can get something on the calendar by going to monicagenta.com/PD, or connect with me via email or on social media, because I would love to get that on the calendar. But for right now, I just want to thank you for listening to this episode. But more importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.